Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hi, Scott.
Well, hi, Mark. How do you feel today, Mark?
That's a great question. I feel fine.
Well, you look good, too, if that's any consolation.
And the listeners won't know that you're being very gracious, but yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's why we have an audio podcast and not a video podcast,
right.
Just so everyone knows. I have a great face for radio.
Exactly, yes. Well, we've been reading through the Proverbs at church, and as I was reading through today's proverb, actually, it brought up some memories from my life at Followers, and I remembered this story that my grandma would tell me, and it was an interaction with Walter, who was the last preacher out at Followers. Mm-hmm. And the story was that my grandma didn't want my uncle, her son, to date a certain girl. She knew nothing about the girl. There was nothing wrong that she knew of, but she just
had a bad feeling.
And so she went and asked Walter about it. What do I do about this? And Walter's advice was, you go by your feelings.
Oh, interesting.
So
I'm just going to say, I have a bad feeling about anybody that looks cross-eyed at my girls. You know, it's like, no.
Yeah.
I feel bad about that. Of course.
Yeah. And so this was, you know, my grandma wanted to be sure, wanted to be sure that she's explaining, right? Like, I want you to know, I know nothing bad about her. I have no reason to feel mm-hmm. this way, but I feel this way. And the advice was still just go by your feelings. And this kind of just became the way decisions were made in my house. This justified then just going by your feelings to make any decision. So this
became kind of a way of operating, is what you're mm-hmm. saying?
Yeah.
In your family tree,
yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I, you know, when you don't have a good answer, when you don't have good support for why you're instructing your kids to do something, you can always just say, well, I just have a bad feeling about it. Well, I just feel like this is what we should do. And so that's what I think I'd like to talk about is, can you trust your feelings?
Oh, you don't want to talk about your bad feelings. I have bad feelings. I don't want to talk about them.
Yeah,
that's not what you're doing.
No,
okay.
I just think, is that...
Can you trust your feelings? That's a fair question.
As we're reading Proverbs and we're seeing it's wisdom literature, maybe you could explain just a little bit what the Proverbs are, and might be helpful.
The proverb is sort of a short summation of, at least some of it is a short summation of a decision point or a action item that you might take, and just suggestions, like mm-hmm. the one from this morning was a soft answer turns away wrath, or this is from yesterday, I guess, but
yeah.
Harsh words stir up anger, and that's just one that reminds you to have a soft answer so that you're not always fighting people. So it's practical in that regard, and that's what a lot of the Proverbs will do. I mean, some of them are longer and string together and give extended instruction, but the idea is that they will point us toward wisdom, and wisdom that goes, like you said, beyond your feelings, but it's good, certifiable decision-making. And I would... one of the ways that I have been talking about it that I got from a book that I really enjoyed was that wisdom is made up really of three parts. The mm-hmm. first is theological, or it finds its roots in the fear of the Lord. So wisdom fears the Lord and has this theological foundation, mm-hmm. then wisdom is also just good. So if you are looking for goodness,
yeah.
that's going to make you wise. In fact, if you don't fear the Lord or if you're not good, then you can't by definition be wise.
Right.
And then the third sort of angle on wisdom is that it's skill in living. And that's probably more the, not the anti-feeling, but the evaluate it this way
right.
with respect to the skill you would have in the way that you would live. So there's those three aspects of it. And the Proverbs that we read today kind of put the brake, pump the brakes on just going with the flow or going with your feelings or going with, anything, but rather step back and apply yourself to get counsel, apply yourself to read God's word, apply yourself so that you have more to go on than just how you feel.
Right. So. Right. Yeah, so this kind of became just a way they would call it, I'm talking about my... In my family, okay. I would hear the word unction all the time. You'll receive unctions, and you'll know what decisions to make. That, and they assumed that these were from God. That these, and
that's so interesting. I never heard the word unction my entire life.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I couldn't possibly count how many times I've heard the word unction, and it was, I mean, and like everything else, I would hear people on opposite sides of an issue, and both of them had received unctions that's where they should take their stance. And I never did know how to explain it, which is why I think it's important that people look for wisdom in God's word.
Well, so one of the things that you're getting at is when things are subjective,
yeah,
then you really don't know which side to be on. I mean, you don't know whether it's better to root for Oregon or for Washington.
Right.
If it's all about how you feel about things or something. But there is, there's more to it than that is what you're kind of getting at, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And in my experience, just out of, out of laziness, looking back at it, this going by your feelings ended up being the way I made all of my decisions, really, when I look back on it. I mean, big parenting decisions, financial decisions, relational decisions, who I was going to be around. It was all based on what would make my life the easiest and what felt the best. So whatever felt the best must be right. I don't know how I came up with that, but...
Well, I'll tell you how you came up with it. You're human.
Yeah.
And pretty much, unless you have some other, philosophical or theological reason to do otherwise, you're going to end up, everybody's going to end up doing that.
Yeah.
We're kind of programmed to do that. That's sort of the role of our emotions or our feelings in our lives, is that they drive a lot of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The problem is, I ran into today's proverb and was like, oh, this, I shouldn't have, obviously I should not have been doing that. And there were, we can trick ourselves. I remember I can't remember exactly where I've heard it, but I mean, it's a common thing, but there's no one easier to lie to than yourself. Like I was able to convince myself that all these things were good because it's what I wanted. And so again, I think that's a human thing, but, Proverbs 16, verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. So we can, in our own eyes, we can make anything good if it's what we want. But there's danger in it, is what I want to talk about, is trusting. Yeah. Trusting in your own feelings causes all kinds of problems. Like parenting, I would decide what was best for my kids based on what felt right, which meant what pleased the people around me, what I thought was expected of me as a parent. It wasn't based on primarily what I believed was the best for my kids.
Oh, interesting.
It was, yeah, it's one of the things that I regret very much. But financial decisions, my house, car, vacations, hobbies, it was all based on what felt good to me. Those decisions were made on what was best for me.
Is that a, is, I'm just asking this, is that like the path of least resistance kind of a decision-making thing? Is that what that is, or is it or something else?
There's probably a combination of path of least resistance, and there's probably also, I think I spent a lot of my time trying to look good to others. I think that I thought those things would represent that. I thought people might be, and you can do that both ways. You can do that at followers by having really nice cars. You can impress some people, and you can also impress other people by not caring about your car, so you don't have a nice car. So that's not important, but you're still doing it to impress others.
It sounds like that's not the path of least resistance.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It is hard to carry that burden. I'll just say that's one of the things that I know is that when I am constantly second guessing based on what I think other people are going to say,
right?
Then I don't. First of all, I don't know what to feel is one of the things,
right?
And then I have the burden of maybe guessing it wrong, and that's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. So then maybe just as you're saying that, maybe I solved that with the relational things. My friend group changed a lot as we just aged or whatever. We went through different phases of life, and that's where I tried to, I think, get the path of least resistance. Is I tried to just surround myself with people who liked all the same things that I did. So then I only had to worry about impressing them, and I could just say, well, I don't care what other people think. So it was always, though, just about my desires and what I wanted and my feelings. Mm-hmm. And there was never a thought in my life given to biblical wisdom or really what pleased the Lord. I just assumed that because I was in the right church, if I pleased the right people there, then God must also be pleased with me. Because I know your eyebrows are raising as I say that, but that really is.
I'm just going to step back a little bit in case some lightning strikes you or something. No.
But that's, I think even at times of wondering if I was on the wrong track, the thought was, well, what else can I do? That's the answer to everything is just stay in the middle, make the right people think you're doing it right. And I think I just got to that point of the, what else could I do? And
interesting.
So, So there are some things I think in the Bible that will tell us that going by your, if the examples that I've given aren't a clear enough picture, that's not the right way to do it. What are some of the verses that we could look at?
Well, I don't know if it's everybody's favorite, but it's certainly a favorite, is Proverbs 3:5, 6, and 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a direction to go opposite to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Don't lean on your own understanding. Instead, look for what the Lord would want. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? Then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So you're not acknowledging what you think might please other people or what you think might even please yourself. You're saying, okay, what will please the Lord? And so you acknowledge him, and it says he will make your path straight.
Yeah.
And then the very next verse is, you know, be not wise in your own eyes. In other words, your own figuring it out and your own self-defense and your own self-congratulations for, you know, being so smart or whatever is not what you want to do. It says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil.
Yeah.
And the fear of the Lord, I mentioned earlier, is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9, verse 10.
Yeah.
And so to get started in wisdom is to fear the Lord. So this whole thing is to invite you into a life where you're, you know, seeking to, like, check your own feelings with what God wants you to be doing.
Yeah.
And so you're going to go that direction because you fear him rather than because you fear other people.
Yeah.
Big difference in fearing the Lord and fearing other people.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Another one that really stuck out to me the first time that I read it was in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And so I just think that was eye-opening to me a little bit, to read that and go, oh, if I was going by my feelings, I'm going by my heart, which is deceitful above all things. And so I think that's a good verse to make the point against going by your feelings.
Yeah, so when you mentioned this before about fooling yourself,
mm-hmm.
Richard Feynman was a physicist, and he said the first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest person to fool.
Right.
And that one, whenever I read that, that just makes me so nervous because I do think I fool myself a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean to, but I'm kind of built that way, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, I read the verses 2 and 3 of this already. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. So because that's true, then the advice is commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So not being self-focused all the time, and I want to do what I think is good for me, but commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established is a good verse too. Yeah, and then that next one, I just think every time I say that because I believed I was going to the right church, I just think that created an arrogance in me that I don't think I recognized it at the time, but...
Well, what about that is arrogant?
Believing that there's something special about me and not everybody else in the entire world except me and the 1,500 people that I go to church with.
You were kind of a special case.
Yeah, and we were, I mean, it breeds all kinds of, it did in me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just, I've said before that it creates either an arrogant self-righteousness or it creates a hopeless despair when you just don't understand. It seems like those are your two options. Anyway, this verse goes on in Proverbs 16 still. In verse 5, it says, "Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished." And then the great news, verse 6 says, "By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil." So I just think that it almost reminds me of that verse in Romans that says that how does it say? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God,
mm-hmm.
but the free gift of God is...
Wages of sin. You're thinking of...
Oh, I'm thinking of the wages of sin is death. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of, is it's the bad news, then the good news. So it's the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. I think that's the steadfast love and faithfulness that's what it reminds me of.
It's God's steadfast love and faithfulness,
yes.
Not yours.
Exactly.
See, that's what the good news is. The good news is,
yeah,
what do I bring to the equation?
Right.
You know, I'm going to come with an arrogant heart.
Yeah.
And I'm going to... you know, bumble my way into it, and then I find that the Lord has steadfast love and faithfulness, and he sent his son to live a perfect life, the life I couldn't live, to die on a cross, the shameful death that I deserved, and then to rise again, that I might be accepted and my iniquity might be atoned for. And so that should cause me to fear and tremble, not because I'm afraid, but to fear the Lord and just have that just take my breath away, basically.
Yeah. That's so great that you brought that up, because I completely would have read that before. I completely would have read that by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have thought, okay, now all I have to accomplish is steadfast love and faithfulness. And I never would be able to accomplish that. But
it's hard to be that steadfast and that faithful.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's great to point that out, that it's not ours, but that's God's steadfast love. A little further down in the same proverb, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And I just want to say, I guess, it's like everything that I described earlier, that way that seemed right to me, that was the end of that is the way to death. And I just, without Jesus, that's exactly
the first
where that
principle is don't fool yourself.
Yeah.
And you're the easiest person to fool. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, then it just, I went back and looked at some of the others, and the first one that we started with, just the call of wisdom in Proverbs 1, just starting in verse 20, and this, like, biblical wisdom, it's wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? And fools hate knowledge. And as I was reading that, I just remember at that time when I was living that way, making decisions that way, basing everything on my feelings, I didn't really want to know anything different. I didn't really want my life to get harder. I can tell you want to say something.
Well, no, I'm smiling because you are, by definition, when you're following your feelings,
yeah,
you're the simple one.
Yeah.
It just said, yeah. And that's what wisdom, that's really what wisdom does here in Proverbs 1, but it does it other times. The writer personifies wisdom as a woman that is trying to win your affection and calls out specifically to the simple,
yeah,
to the ones who go by their feelings and the ones who really are kind of inexperienced. And so you are the perfect target for wisdom,
yeah,
right there.
Exactly.
She's after you, Mark.
Yeah. But I love the promise that comes at the end of that. Verse 23 says, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. And that was what I experienced after, not because I got smarter, because I made a great decision even. God intervened in my life and made me aware of all the things that I was just talking about, that I'm making my decisions based on the wrong things, that I'm not seeking wisdom. I'm not caring what my Bible says. I'm going to the followers of Christ Church, and I don't care anything about Jesus. I don't know anything about him. I don't care anything about him. And then when I realized that, by God's grace, I did turn. And that's what I think this is talking. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you.
So for you, the turn at the reproof, was that an instantaneous thing, or was that kind of a gradual process by which you end up turning?
Well, by God's grace, it was pretty instantaneous that I realized that was the only place I could turn. I had to repent And I just had to confess that everything that I've known to be true, I now don't think is true. But I didn't know what was true
right.
yet. So I was turning away from that, but I didn't know what to turn to other than just crying out to God and saying, I just need to know what is true. And then it's been a very gradual thing since then.
Well, that was the fast part, you said.
Yeah, that was the fast part.
Well, I think that's really probably a great place to start if, you know, somebody would say, you know what, I don't even care how it happened for Mark.
Yeah.
I just want to figure out what God wants for me and wants for my life. Then, you know, let this podcast even be the reproof that invites you to turn and just whatever you just said about, I don't know exactly what's true, but I'd like to know and I want to know. And it says here in Proverbs 1:23 that the Lord's going to respond to that turn of yours.
Yeah.
And you're going to he's going to pour out his spirit on you and make his words known to you so that you can get this figured out. And, you know, we're not coming in saying that, you know, you have to do it exactly like us. We're coming in just saying it would be great for you to turn and to have God give you his spirit and make his words known to you. They don't have to be my words or Mark's words, but it would be great if that could just be the case so you'd have this sense of confidence that you have heard from God and it isn't your feelings.
Right.
Really.
Right. Yeah. And you can, and I love that he does both, that pour out my spirit to you, I will make my words known to you. You can understand what the Bible says, and his word there is.
Well, and his spirit is not divorced from his word.
No.
See, I mean, that's one of the things about that advice you talked about earlier, to say you're going to get a feeling or an unction or the spirit's going to point you. He's, you know, his main thing is the Bible. He will take the words of Jesus and make them known to you, it says in John.
Yeah.
And that it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so the Spirit is linked with God's word, and so you get both when you turn to the Lord. So that would be, I guess, my encouragement, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and as this proverb goes on, I want this to be more than just a suggestion to people too. Like challenge isn't the right word, but read the whole proverb. There's a consequence if you don't turn also.
So there are two things. So you want this to be more than an appeal.
Yeah.
I want it to be exactly the same appeal that is here. Wisdom cries aloud in the street and raises her voice and cries out.
Yeah.
That's what we want to be doing here in the podcast is
exactly
pleading with you to not love, you know, being simple anymore. That's not my definition, but the way the Bible talks about it. And to turn and have those words be known to you. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so it goes on to say, because I have called and you refuse to listen, I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. So I just want to bring up, I'm thankful for the people that called out to me at Followers, that told me about Jesus, and I want people at Followers still to recognize that 300 plus people have left there, and most of them, if not all of them, are telling their families about Jesus, and they're reaching out to them. They want them to heed this, just like this is saying. And I would just say, just don't ignore
counsel. The danger is that there's going to come a day when it's too late.
Yeah.
They'll call upon me and I will not answer. They'll seek me diligently, but won't find me. And so that's why, you know, on the one hand, we want to say it's an appeal. On the other hand, there's some urgency about the appeal too.
Right.
So, I do hope that you'll give it some serious, serious thought there.
I just am thinking right now as we're reading this, the fact that at someday every knee will bow, and I just want to urge people to do that now.
Like, don't, sooner rather than later.
Rather than later. So, So I don't know if there's. I don't want to just belabor the point, but I just want to urge people to trust in Jesus, trust in His Word for wisdom, for the way you parent, the way you make financial decisions, relational decisions. Those are all things that I talked about earlier. Don't go by your feelings for those, mm-hmm. but go by God's Word for those.
So do you have a hymn that
I do.
Would sort of echo that sentiment?
Yeah, we would. Most of it's in the title, but we would sing Only Trust Him. And it says, come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. So that's the appeal, is trust in Jesus.
That if wisdom had a song, it would sing that one, wouldn't it?
It would. Well, thanks, Scott.
Yep, thank you.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.